My first question for you is, if you had to explain who Louis Jordan was to someone who'd never heard of him, in a brief nutshell, what would you say?
Well, I would probably first start with the folks that were so profoundly influenced by him, because that would be folks that they had heard of, such as Ray Charles and James Brown and Chuck Berry and Sonny Rollins and Bo Diddley and Little Richard, everyone that we consider major influential American figures in music are, you know, Louis Jordan's acolytes. So tell them about that and say, you probably know the songs, you know, Choo 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 Boogie, you know, Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens, you know, Let the Good Times Roll, 50 top 10 hits, and one of the fathers of certainly rhythm and blues, but also like modern music video and direct connection from vaudeville to hip-hop. That's where I'd get started.
Well, you mentioned all those artists who have been influenced by Louis Jordan, artists who may be more familiar in terms of name recognition to the general public today. And you mentioned some jazz musicians and blues and rock and roll and R&B. He didn't just have an influence on one style of music, but it was so many different styles.
Right. That's really why this is so amazing, that somehow I've become the Louis Jordan guy, when it just seemed like everyone should be into this, whether, you know, he had hits on the country charts and, you know, like, again, like Who's Big in Blues, B.B. King, modern R&B, James Brown, modern rock and roll, Chuck Berry, all down the line, and even into reggae and ska and rocksteady and calypso. it's really just so broad. I needed twice as many pages in this book to make it work, really.
Well, he was influential musically, but you mentioned the music videos, and almost he had a larger-than-life personality and persona that many artists who came after him, who are musicians, didn't they emulate that as well?
Absolutely. I think he, and you can see in the, he did early music videos in the 40s on Soundies, and he just had this charisma. And some of the guys that were his ex-bandmates I was able to talk to for the book, you know, they compared him to John Wayne or something. It's like, you know, when he walked in the room, he just was the guy you wanted to look at, you know. And so you can see that on the screen, and it certainly came across on the stage, because he had a, this was sort of, his context was in the big band era, but he had a small group of 5 to 7 musicians, and the common wisdom was that you couldn't fill a dance hall with that, with, you know, with the music, with such a small group. And because of their incredible musicality, but also his charisma and the routines they did, and the, you know, everyone had to look sharp and dress sharp and know their stuff or they were gone. And so it was a serious business to him acting like it was a big party. it was a business. You'd think that it was, they were just up there having a ball, but it was serious to him.
Well, you mentioned the big band era. For the context of our listeners, and again, people who may not be familiar with Louis Jordan, what decades was he working and popular? When did he emerge? How long did he perform?
Well, he performed all his life from a young age. His father was in the medicine shows and that circuit, you know, that would tour on the trains. So we're talking, you know, the vaudeville and medicine show era of the 20s. Basically when he began, and then, you know, playing all the way up until his death in 1975. So that is an incredible period of change for American music, and he was there for basically the duration. But the 1940s was his time. That was when he ruled the charts.
Now, when you mention, you know, Louis Jordan and the influence he's had, the style of music he plays, you would think this would be an artist who comes out of a place like Kansas City or St. Louis or New York City or even Memphis. He came out of Brinkley, Arkansas. How did an artist like Louis come out of a small town in the Arkansas Delta?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, it really, I would think, probably stemmed from his father, who was born in Dardanelle in 1876. And he was a musician's musician, so he did not give Louis any slack when it came time to rehearse. And something else we should consider was that, you know, back in this era, you know, obviously no internet, no TV, you know, playing and going out to either be a musician or to go out and dance to musicians was a large part of our entertainment. Every house that, you know, had the means would have a piano in it. There was a lot more, I think there's a lot more musicianship in just day-to-day people during this time, because simply there was maybe less else to do, and it was considered, you know, a viable way to earn your living.
Was Jordan someone who appealed at his height of popularity? Did he appeal to both black and white audiences?
This is one of the key factors to how he was able to have songs be number one for weeks and weeks. He was an incredible, calculated crossover artist. And of course, you know, he got the black folks out on in their nightclubs, and he had a white manager named Burl Adams, and they went to great lengths to appeal to both sides of the street, as it were. And so, and then especially when he got into film, that his first film was a short called Caledonia, and it broke box office records in white and black theaters, and he helped sort of break down those terrible lines that we've created for ourselves.
What drew you personally to Louis Jordan? Why is his music so appealing to you, so much so that you chose to do all this research and write a book?
Well, Marty, he's just so good. but, you know, I'm in radio, and my dad was in radio, and so we had a musical household growing up. I loved Louis Jordan since I was a toddler. It's great music for kids. The family would drive through Brinkley. I'm from the Delta also. And I would think, where's the statue to Louis Jordan? And there was no statue. And as time went on and I became a reporter and got interested, Louis never left my mind. And he's one of the reasons I do Arkansas songs, heard on KASU in the first place, is because I was like, if Louis Jordan has fallen through the cracks here in Arkansas, who else is there that might be out there that is, you know, this fantastic? And there are plenty of people, none of them to me as earth-shattering as Louis Jordan, in terms of, you know, him being so popular and so forgotten. But he's just really incredible, and it's an honor to be mentioned in the same, have my name be mentioned in the same breath as his, you know. But he's really just was that important, and someone had to do it, Marty. So he's just someone that I've been in love with musically for a long time, and he's just part of my family at this point. You know, it's been too many years.
Well, I'm not a native Arkansan, but I've lived here for more than two decades, and I knew of Louis Jordan before I came to Arkansas, but I didn't really appreciate and understand his influence until I had been here in the state and got more immersed into his music. Why do you think more people, not just outside of Arkansas, but more people, you know, right here in Northeast Arkansas, don't even know who he is or his influence on music? To what do you attribute that?
Well, I'm really disappointed in my fellow Arkansasers for not embracing this guy, because, you know, Arkansas, you know, the stereotype is that we love our own, and if someone goes and does something great, then we love them, you know. And I think it's a larger deal, and I've got a lot of theories, you know, about maybe wartime thing. You know, it was just, you know, we're ready to move on after the terrible years of World War II, and then the youth culture that emerged in the 1950s, and he had bad management and bad record labels after this time. I think it was just maybe a lot of smaller issues rose to become this big thing where he is sort of a cipher. But the music, if I get someone for 2 minutes, I can usually make a connection. It's like, well, you've heard Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens, you've heard Choo 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 Boogie, and the songs, you know, have lived on. And so I can usually find a song, a Louis Jordan song that someone has heard of, or make a connection of some manner. But yeah, that to me is a very big question mark.
Well, you are the Louis Jordan expert, but as you were researching for this book, was there anything surprising you learned about him or his influence in your research?
You know, I felt kind of like at this point, I wouldn't say I'd learned all there was to know about a person, because I don't think you ever do that about anyone, maybe even your spouse, but he is someone that I've worked on so long. I was still surprised that, you know, up until the last, you know, hours of deadline, I'm still learning stuff and still finding stuff, like about this whole, his big influence on rocksteady and ska and reggae. I would love to have explored even more. And that was sort of a new twist that I hadn't caught on to, you know, researched the Calypso thing pretty well. And that's just, so I'll have to go to Jamaica now and work on that.
Well, for someone who's heard this interview and thought, okay, I have a greater appreciation for Louis Jordan, how easy is it to find his music or even to find those films that you mentioned? Is this something that music is easily accessible these days?
It's so weird, because when I started doing this, I could only imagine what these films would look like, you know, and now, you know, they're all over YouTube, and you can find especially his most popular era from the 1940s on Decca Records. You know, there's all kinds of CDs available or downloads of his classic material. So it's not hard now. You know, you too can become a Louis Jordan expert today. But you know, some of the stuff from the 50s and 60s is a little bit tougher to find, but even that is, it's surprising, you know. Everything's available out there now, and including Louis Jordan.
Well, congratulations on the publication of your book. Any other Arkansas artists that you have an interest in, perhaps, you know, maybe giving them the same kind of treatment that you've given to Louis Jordan?
Well, I've been, a couple of my other favorites are Rosetta Tharpe. I'm working on a musical on Rosetta Tharpe, who's from Cotton Plant in Woodruff County, and Little Willie John is another one of my, to me, another forgotten R&B hero from the 1950s, and Henry Glover, who was his producer from Hot Springs. So I'm still going to do stuff. I mean, I'm kind of considering a Black Oak, Arkansas book, but I just want to me, this Arkansas culture is so important and so, you know, little known. You know, I want to get these cool stories out there to people. That's why I do Arkansongs, and I couldn't do it without my degree from Arkansas State University.